This is tape recording number 6309CO4, a lecture given by L. Ron Hubbard on the 4th of September, 1963. The title of this lecture is How to Find a Service Facsimile.
Thank you. I'm very, very glad to announce that there are some of you who are not in trouble. Thought we'd start the lecture on a happy note. What's the date? 4 Sept AD 13. Don't know what the month is named after, but probably something very barbaric. Well, the shadow of your big toe has approached within several yards of a service facsimile. You remind me of a scout looking over a citadel which is bristling with guns and quite hostile, observing it from as far deep in the neighboring woods as you possibly can get. And I think maybe you've caught the tip of one turret or have seen a sign which says citadel. And I'm going to ask you now to be brave and even get out to the edge of the woods and take a look at this thing, because it's well worth looking at. And perhaps the fault that you have not seen it is resident with me. It appears to be quite lucid to me. It doesn't seem to be offering very much complication and so on. But I know what this breed of cat is. I myself have taken a look at it and have audited it and have seen the results of it, and over a period of years have had an unhappy history of colliding with it. You know, you're going down M1 there and you're wide open, you know, and everything is fine, and I'll be a son of a gun if somebody hasn't piled barrels across the road, don't you see? And, well, that's the end of that one, you see. PCs have always been full of surprises, and it's been of great interest to me to find out how they create these surprises. And so I'm very, very happy with what we've got here in the service facsimile, because it is how they create these surprises and what happens. Apparently, there's a great deal to know about this thing, and I have not, to any great degree, relayed this information, even in the bulletin of R3SC. Apparently, this is takes a lot of grasp, basically because it's terribly simple, and it's not that anybody is protecting their service facsimile. You can almost wipe that out. You head a person's attention toward the service facsimile, and they go right on in, man. They go down the toboggan and over the falls. Crash. They are no more able to keep out of the service facsimile than anything. And you needn't erect now a structure of philosophy to explain bad assessment by saying the PC will defend himself against his service fact being found. The PC will not. The PC gets to the middle of this whirlpool and just whirls. That's it, man. All you got to do is swing him somewhere in the vicinity of the lake in which the whirlpool exists, and he dives right in and swims like mad and goes right to the whirlpool and says that's it, unless he's prevented from doing so. My first plea, then, is don't prevent the PC from finding his service facsimile. That seems to be a rather obvious point to make, and I'm sorry that it sounds sardonic or sarcastic, but I'm afraid it has to be made. Because you could say, well, of course, if the PC counts on this for survival, he's not going to let it be found, you see. And you could go off on that line and make a lot of hard work for yourself, and actually it's not of that nature at all. Now, there's so many ways of isolating a service facsimile that to cover the area of assessment at this particular stage of the game is merely to put in your hands a lot of rote this and that, which will more assist you to miss the service facsimile than to find it. There is no substitute whatsoever for knowing what one is. There's no substitute at all. Now, the service facsimile, first and foremost, is a tremendous solution which the PC believes, if disturbed, will end his survival. It is always an aberrated solution. It always exists in present time and is part of the environment of the PC. And it is something that everyone, unintentionally or otherwise, is telling the PC is wrong and causing him to assert that it is right. Now, you get to understand the service facsimile a little bit better when you recognize that last point. That last point is very, very important. Otherwise, you're going to be running some of the silliest things and calling them service facsimiles, and you're not going to make the boat at all. The environment, the mores, one or another dynamics, is insistently and constantly at work trying to tell the individual that the service facsimile is wrong, and the individual is constantly saying that it is right. And when you have that situation, you have an unauditable PC. Because he is getting audited only to prove that this is right, and actually will constantly bring it up in auditing, it is about as hard to find as a burning tar barrel in the middle of an empty field on a dark night. Right? PC is always bringing this to the auditor's attention. This is so much the case that once you have found it, you will consider that you have been very obtuse indeed. But sometimes it's being brought to the auditor's attention in different wordings, in different conduct, in different approaches that one doesn't find it easy to label. And it is probably labeling it that is harder than finding it. Now let us first look at the exact thing we are trying to do with a service facsimile. The exact thing we are trying to do with it. There is one thing we're trying to do with it. And then this will move out of your perimeter as an auditor any necessity of trying to use this principle to make an OT, because that is not what we're using it for. I'll give you an idea now of this. Rich and I just had a discussion a moment ago, and he was saying, well, a human body would be a service facsimile. He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. But this, of course, is being applied to going OT, not for the purpose we are applying it. See, the remark is absolutely correct. It turns on mass. See? It's being asserted constantly and so forth. Obviously, it's a perfectly good service facsimile. You see? But all that's wrong with it is that it isn't the service facsimile we are trying to target. The wrong target. Because if you used that, you would be going to OT. Don't you see? And we are not using the service facsimile for that. We're simply using it to get a person auditable. This lifetime, and get out of the roads those constantly re-stimulated solutions that make it hard to audit this person. And that's its purpose. Its purpose is simply to clear this lifetime. Now, I can give you some beauties on the application of the service facsimile on the whole track. What do you suppose you have a bank for? It obviously must be some sort of a service facsimile. Obviously, it turns on mass, doesn't it? It follows all of the rules. Obviously, how would having a bank make you right and others wrong? Obviously, obviously would kill the PC. Why? Well, you just re-stimulate the whole early track, and you throw him into countless GPMs, and you'd over-re-stimulate him like mad. But obviously, according to the theory, it's a perfectly valid service facsimile. A reactive mind is a perfectly valid service facsimile, but not for the purposes that we are going to use this for. It's well to remember the basic principles of the service facsimile when you're running somebody to OT, because sooner or later you're going to find this guy, and he just can't seem to get up to a point where he can tilt a planet. You're having trouble with this PC. He sits down there on one mountaintop, and you sit there on the other mountaintop, and you're trying to audit him, see? And the E-meter you use are the little glows that appear in the various parts of his vicinity. You say something, you see something glow, you say that red. Probably your auditing commands are all in telepathy or something like this, but we don't care much about that. It's a good thing to remember. This guy just keeps complaining, ARC breaking. Weather gets terrible on the planet, you know, keeps ARC breaking. Thunderstorms and other things occur. He's got this PTP, you see, he just can't tilt a planet. Weak. And I bid you remember this point, you see, that undoubtedly you're now bucking a service facsimile. See? Which would probably, after you've talked for a while, add up to something like being incapable. And you ask him, all right, how would being incapable make you right? And how would it make others wrong? And so forth, and you run it on up with just the same steps of R3SC. You undoubtedly got this boy flying again, you see, into some new zone or area. So you never really rid of the principles of the service facsimile. He's got some tremendous solution, and that solution is being incapable. How does he survive? By being incapable. At what level? At some very upstage level of some kind or another. All right, so that's perfectly valid. So it'd be valid almost at any point of a case. But that isn't what we're using it for, and that is not the design and style of R3SC. It's the same breed of cat. The same breed of cat. But we're attacking here a solution, which, just like any other solution, is a barrier to the discharge of the confusion. What's made this possible is a new evaluation and a new road found through the bank on, guess what? You've had a new communication level in auditing and so forth, and that clarified a lot of things. But, of course, the service facsimile is born out of a re-evaluation and a readjustment of the confusion and the stable datum, that basic. Confusion and the stable datum. The confusion can only stay in place as long as it has a stable datum to hang it up. Now, that is so light and so easily changed by a thetan or a being that this does not much get in anybody's road. It's only when it becomes an aberrated solution, the loss of which threatens survival, that the individual fails to be able to discharge the mass associated with it. So if you could see confusion as a stable datum, you know those principles. They're old HCA principles. You should realize that out of the center of the confusion, the stable datum, and at that point get a discharge of the energy held in place. It's a new discovery, you see. What holds the confusion in place? A stable datum. That's a new thought, you see, because you handle life all the time on the reverse line. You've got too much confusion, put a stable datum in, and the confusion lines up on the stable datum. That's how you've been using it before. All right, let's take a reverse look. How is the confusion held in place? The confusion is held in place by a stable datum. So the removal of this table datum then discharges the confusion. And a confusion is a very good description of what is charge. Charge is an electrical confusion. Now, as long as a stable datum is held in place by the person, the confusion will not discharge. You see this? So here's a new piece of advanced technology, rather remarkable piece of technology that we have had around for a very long time, and it's simply a reverse look at the thing, and we know now how to hold a confusion in place. Now, fortunately for us, confusions are tolerable and not always aberrative. In fact, the biggest part of the confusions of life are not at all aberrative. They could go on for a long time without hurting any Thetan or incapacitating him for a moment. You're playing a card game. And you're having an awful time playing this card game. You just never seem to really get any place playing this card game. And you discover a little booklet, and it says how you play canasta. And you read over this booklet, and it gives you some hot dope on the thing, and after that you can play canasta. This is just about as aberrative as eating blueberry pie. You understand? Nevertheless, the confusions of canasta are held in abeyance by these little rules you have learned about canasta. Now, of course, the confusions concerning canasta, as I say, have no aberrative value whatsoever. Zero. Life, you see, as I've told you several times in recent lectures, is not in itself an aberrative activity. Aberration has to be rather extraordinary. It has to be worked at. It has to be kept in re-stimulation all the time. Now, this rather innocent action of the switchboard girl solving the confusion of her job on the principle, if I have 12 calls simultaneously appearing on the board, I handle one, and then handle two, and then handle three. Don't you see? In other words, she's got a confusion of calls. All you have to do is teach her to handle one call. Each confusion she has from that point thereon is handled by that. Well, it actually is not at all aberrative to her. Nothing going to drive her mad because she has 12 calls simultaneously. Don't you see? That's nonsense. So now we pull off the case. We say, all right, what system or solution have you had to answering calls when they were too many, or a confusion of calls? And she says, well, I answer one at a time, and so forth. We get the motion of the tone arm here could not be detected with a micro milli vernier univac. It actually doesn't back up any charge. You get the idea? Now, it's got to be force and violence mixed up with these things. It's got to be something fabulous. Now, she could add this up, and you could add this up as part of the confusion of trying to survive by having a job. And this could be part of it. And you might touch on it, and it might appear to move some mass, but actually, she's got something else she is worried about. Her survival is threatened by the fact that she could not handle her job. Then she's liable to be dismissed, don't you see? Ah, but look, solving how she handles a switchboard does not solve what she is worried about. She is worried about the fact that if she does not handle her job, she will not have a job, and her survival will thereby be threatened. Ah, there's a much bigger tower on which this little piece of confusion was leaning, don't you see? All right, so we address this. How does she hold her job? By being a competent switchboard operator. Well, I'm afraid that this is not very aberrative either. Why is she worried about holding her job? you say, what solutions do you have for holding your job? And you get a little TA action, see? Get a little bit of TA action. She says so and so, and be nice to the boss, and so forth, and so forth. And you get a little TA action. Because this threatens her survival, don't you see? Much, much more intimately. But the case is still relatively unauditable. There must be something on this case, if we're auditing this case and we're having trouble with the case. There must be something else that we are bucking into here. What are we running into? Something else. Something else. And we look around and we find out, well, now, what makes you upset particularly about losing a job or something like that? What would be upsetting about this? And you hear, marvel of marvel and wonder of wonders. You expect to hear, you know, my aged mother would then starve to death, you see, or something like that. And she says, well, actually, it's my dog. You can't add this up. Actually, she can't either. Actually, it's unaddable. You say, well, what about the dog? What's this got to do with the job? Well, you see, they'd put the dog to sleep if I couldn't feed the dog, you see. Now, you might begin here close someplace, and that even looks a little bit sensible, don't you see? That doesn't look quite completely dippy. But you've got the idea of a human being working like mad and terribly worried about their job and so forth, and we've traced it back to a dog. Now, ordinarily, human beings do not work to support dogs. But this one is. This one is. And my golly, we work this around for a little while, and we suddenly find out that she has lots of trouble all the time and lots of upsets about keeping the dog in an apartment. And we may have a service facsimile that is simply described as keeping a dog. See, that's probably too mild to look at it, and I haven't given it to you as rough as you would actually find it, or as incredible, because I want you to understand it, and I'll sit there with your jaw dropped, see? But keeping a dog in an apartment, some such action as this, or keeping a dog. And how would keeping a dog make you right? And how would it keeping a dog make others wrong? We find out that this girl has one computation in existence which makes her right and makes others wrong. And it has to do with keeping a barking dog in an apartment where it'll annoy people. And that makes her right and makes others wrong, and she feels if she were deprived of that solution, her survival would be shattered. And this is what's causing her to worry about her job, don't you see? So she always carefully gets these little sharp bark terriers, you see, the scraffle and raffle when they walk around on the floors, you see, and that yip and yap endlessly, particularly in the middle of the night. Sooner or later, as you're running this thing, she'll all of a sudden cognize, you know, I always seem to get very noisy dogs. I wonder why that is. Well, of course, naturally, bothers people more. And you run this thing down, and you will get some kind of an incident, early life incident, and that sort of thing, where somebody insisted that a dog be put to sleep, or something like this, because it was getting old and scrawny, and she had to drive it down to the pond, and everybody was busy making her wrong, and he was trying to make everybody else wrong, don't you see? And this thing is all wound up in a ball. And wonder of wonders, we get this thing audited out. It's all about dogs, you see. And suddenly, because keeping a job and handling a switchboard was attached to an aberrated service facsimile, you see, to this degree, then her worries and anxieties all have a big lie in them, you see, and they're all twisted around the wrong way, too, and all of a sudden she can operate a switchboard much better. Doesn't even have to have a stable datum to operate one. She just operates a switchboard, don't you see? And she can keep a job, doesn't worry about the job, and so forth. She's relaxed on this line. You get this action. Now, I've given you a very, very simple, understandable solution here. Very simple, very understandable. And they're not quite that simple when found in real life. They are more aberrated. I gave you a more intelligible one because I wanted you to understand there was some connection. Now, as you walk across this in real life, they jump usually a wider gap than from job to keeping a dog. They probably be more involved than this. They arc across a larger spark gap. You may find out that it is breaking dishes. We may have some more steps in. Breaking dishes. This doesn't make any sense at all about keeping dogs or holding jobs, but nothing makes any sense anyway. She's breaking dishes to be right, you see, and breaking dishes to make others wrong. And this is the service facsimile on which everything else is piling up. And oddly enough, if she's not permitted to break dishes, she knows she cannot survive. She may not know what the barometer reads. She may not know how wide the street is. She may not know a lot of other things in life, but this she does know. That if she ceases to keep the dog or break the dishes or something like that, why, that's the end of her. Total tertiary line of defense. Now, you may not discover this at once on a case. You may not discover this promptly, immediately, and at once on a case. You may audit off one, two, or three apparent service facsimiles that all answer up to the complete description of a service facsimile, but are actually only leaning on the central service facsimile that isn't restimulated in present time, don't you see? But as you take these things off, why, the central one comes to view. Now, you see now why, when you say or imply to me, now, Ron, you should give me some kind of a rote procedure by which to isolate this every time. You're asking me, of course, to apply a logical system to an illogical action. I probably could do it, and we probably will do it, and all of that sort of thing, but I actually would much rather you understood what you were doing. See, I'd much rather. Because, frankly, you can hunt and punch around on a case. You can take an old case assessment sheets and folders and 212 and something, you know, on the case or the case reports, auditors' reports, or case histories, or something. You can get a whole list of things, anything that's been found on the case, and you can have a discussion over these various things and points, and you can assess them in various ways and get one or another of them to read. You'll find out the PC's interest will hang up someplace on this list. They'd be very interested in it. Far from leaving it, they dive right in on it. See? And here's the PC's interest. It'll hang up with a somatic, so forth. And now, in fooling around with this, it is sometimes necessary to reword it. You don't have to worry about rewording the command. You'll get results on cases by running different commands, but you'll only be running oddball flank material on the service facsimile itself, don't you see? Now, the commands is always, how would it, whichever you have found, makes the PC right and makes others wrong. It's always that command. See? It's not how would opposing it, stepping on it, throwing it away, or something like that, or fighting it, make you right. See, because you haven't got the idea of the service facsimile, see. Because the condition, the final identification is that the service facsimile solution is the PC. That solution is the PC. So it is something he has. It's how would he make him right and make others wrong. Now, you can vary it. How has it made you right? And how has it made others wrong? You could even say, what would be made wrong by it? Now we're going afield, but the PC sometimes springs over, and when they're operating in an aberrated area of this particular character, their ability to follow an auditing command deteriorates markedly. And they slop. That's all right. The way you handle that and so forth. All of a sudden, PC's answering what and not answering how. See? You say, all right, well, just give me the rest of the what's and we'll get back to the how. You know, I mean, not very tough. You know, don't make them wrong. Stop them and all this sort of thing. Let them go because you may be standing in the road of an avalanche at an automaticity thing. They'll flop on that auditing command, you understand. But the auditing command is not ever. How has it made you wrong? Never, never, never. Oddly enough, it'll run, but it'll run the PC downscale. How would doing things to it make you right? See, no. You'll get some tone arm action. See, this what'll fool you. You'll get a little tone arm action. It'll look okay. Let me take the case in point. We assess fodder. And some genius has just read the rest of the 212 bulletin and found out that it was always oppose. You were supposed to oppose what you found on that. So we ran 212 plus R3SC, which is pretty good. I suppose you could run several other processes in conjunction with it, too. You could probably have the PC feeling the walls at the same time you ran the process. I mean, you could do a lot of things. But anyhow, I'm sorry, but that actually happened. And the command was, how would opposing father, this is not quite the right one, but don't want to cast too many bricks, how would opposing father make you right? Brother, that is not a service facsimile. Opposing father is not a service facsimile. That's an action. See, that's just an action. Now, if you assessed it out, you've got to try it. You've got to try it on for size. And you've got to find out if there's anything to this. Because it would be, if you assessed father, it's just simply, I mean, it's too idiotically simple. Father must be a solution. See, it must be a huge solution. So we say, how would father make you right, and how would, you know, father make others wrong? Okay. Now, you can drag this over into the cow pasture and say, well, hating father is probably the service facsimile and so forth. But actually, you're just looking at a secondary or tertiary condition of a service facsimile. You're not looking at a service facsimile, because this is no action. See? This would be something which was the result of a service facsimile. And the first rule is, what I first gave you in this lecture, if the PC doesn't immediately jump into the lake and swim right straight to the whirlpool, but tells you, father, bring your right hand. Any sense? Call to your attention, the PC is still standing on the bank. Not service facsimile. PC has not swum madly in and got all embroiled in this thing. Because that's the first thing they want to do. Service facsimile, drown. Why? Because to drown is to survive. Obviously, that's a characteristic of service facsimile. PC says, I don't know. I don't know if that's right or not. Make me right. I don't know if that would make me right or not. See, would it make me right? Would it make anybody else right? I don't know. I can answer the question. It doesn't seem to be right. Wake up there in the auditing chair and take a look at what's going on. PC is standing on the bank, feet not wet, whirlpool not approached. Equals service facsimile not been found. So go on and do something else clever. Say, well, that's fine. I'm glad we covered that. Cheerily, 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 cheerily. And you're going to your papers and hell out of there. PC won't be able to keep out of it. That I guarantee you, man. Won't be able to stay out of it. You say service facsimile is burning cats. Something weird like this comes up. Or being a cat. Being cat-like. How would being cat-like make you right? Oh, well, that's so-and-so-and-so-and-so-and-so-and-so-and-so-and-so. And then, of course, so-and-so-and-so-and-so, you understand, there's quite a thing when you start really thinking about it like that. You see, cat-like is so-and-so-and-so-and-so, you understand, and so on. And a lot of times been cat-like because, you see, it's cat-like, you know, and so forth, and that's the way it is, and so on. And when you can't get in an auditing question to get the session properly started, know that you have hit one. Now, the reason it turns on automaticities is, of course, that it is automatic, unanalyzed solutions, and they simply just pour off in a Niagara. When you got a real one and you're running one, always note in your auditor's report, automaticity merely means more answers than the PC can articulate are arriving from the bank. Conveyor belt stacking up. Just note down when you find one of those automaticities. It's a guarantee you've hit on a service facsimile. Now, this gives us the way it has to be run. Because it is susceptible to avalanches, you can't then run it with the old TR-01234, see? You've got to throw the question into the arena and let the lions fight over it for a while. You understand? And just don't stop it with a new question. Don't stop it with acknowledgments. Let it sort of run out. After a while, the PC's giving you 15, 20 answers and so forth and seems to look rather blank. Doesn't seem to have one now. And that sort of thing. Well, you can either give them another question, or you can change the thing over to the other side, and it does the same thing then. So it's actually not one auditing question for one auditing answer. You're not running it that way. You're running it one auditing question for one waterfall. Sometimes the PC swaps ends in the middle of it. Well, this is no time to stop him either. He's busy making others wrong with this being cat-like, you see, and others wrong, others wrong, others wrong, others wrong, and it'd make me right to so-and-so-and-so-and-so, and he's just reached the end of the flow, and he's turned around, and he's on the back flow. You can also overrun these things and put the PC into a stuck flow, sort of a drifting anatin. You're insisting that more answers must exist, you see? Well, he's already at the end of his rope, and you're making him run too long on that side. So it's run very permissively. What you're trying to do is get rid of this avalanche and automaticity and get some tone arm action. That's your main purpose. So how you do that as an auditor is give only enough questions to get the PC going and only enough acknowledgments to acknowledge the fact that you had a lot of answers and turn it around whenever it comes toward the end of the rope and turn it around the other way. It's very simple stuff. Now, trying to keep the PC answering the auditing question is sometimes difficult, as I just told you, because the PC will skid around on this and disassociate because he's in a disassociated area. And don't you ever tell me that you're very shocked because this PC has given you a whole bunch of answers that weren't answers to the auditing question. Now, that's expected. That's expected, see? Because what? This solution, now let's talk on the theory of the thing. This solution, you see, is holding back a tremendous amount of aberration, none of which makes sense, so it doesn't as is. So there sits this solution, see? Keeping a dog, you see. All right, all this stuff is back of it, and nothing is going to flow, because as long as this person is able to keep a dog, life is handled. Jobs are taken care of, everything is protected, all is right in the world. Except, of course, for the painful stomach, a hatred of dogs, and some little marginal fringe worries, you know, of one kind or another, and being broke all the time and not being able to have a job or hold a job. It's like trying to solve a problem with a whopping lie, don't you see? And boy, would you have to get busy to keep this problem solved with this whopping lie. So it has to be continuously asserted, continuously asserted. And that solution, then, is just a solution. That's all it is. And the PC doesn't even have to work on it consciously. because the PC has got it all triggered to be worked on all the time anyhow. It's the immediate answer to anything. So life just continues to stack up on this solution. And it accumulates mass on this solution. And the solution accumulates mass. Now, because the solution, let me give you the condition, what kind of a solution it's got to be. It's got to be a below 2 on the tone scale solution. Always below 2. Nothing above 2. It's a below 2 solution. Because it, perforce, is a substitute for an itzeline. It's a substitute for an itzeline. The PC started out by feeling he or she could not itza the object that he or she was trying to make wrong, and so dreamed up this solution as a final solution. And that then is a substitute for an itzeline, believe it or not. Well, there's a girl sitting there, and mother has not spoken to her since noon because the fender of the car has been dented, and she has this solution. Well, families are no good, you see. Makes it unnecessary to observe mother, makes it unnecessary to observe environment, makes it unnecessary to participate. No necessity at all to do anything about it because it's all done. It's all contained there in the solution. And then because, you see, there is no isness occurring on the environment, you get an accumulation of mass. The mass only accumulates in the absence of itza. So there goes the old shell game. So it's actually a substitute itzeline. Now, because of this, of course, it then is referred to every time one refers to anything. And when it is a below 2 on the tone scale solution, it, of course, is propounding this. It's propounding this very clearly, as aberrated as this sounds. To survive, it is necessary to succumb. And that solution always propounds that, one way or the other, in some oblique, aberrated way.
This lecture is continued on side 2 of this cassette.